All right, we're still studying Luke 14, verse 10. And we almost finished talking about what the word friend connotates. Jesus said he called his disciples friends only after he had told them all things that he had received of the Father. Before that, they weren't considered friends from Christ's standpoint. Let's look at a couple of other examples just so we get this idea of friend in our mind. Go to Acts 19. This is one of the most interesting stories in the book of Acts. It's about Ephesus, or they're at Ephesus, and a guy named Demetrius starts trouble, and he essentially gets the whole of Ephesus against Paul and what they call people of that way. So let's see what happened and can understand it and see if it has what it would mean today. In verse 33 or 23, in the same time there arose no small stir about that way, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation, and said, "Sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands, so that not only our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship." And when they had heard these sayings, they were full of wrath, and cried out, saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." And the whole city was filled with confusion. Having caught Gaius, an Aristarchus, however pronounce it, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward, and Alexander beckoned with his hand and would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice, about the space of 2 hours, cried out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesus." And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, "You men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of the Ephesians is a worshipper of the great goddess Diana, and of the image which fell down from Jupiter? Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly. For you have brought hither these men which are neither robbers of churches, nor yet blasphemers with your goddess. Wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man, the law is open, and there are deputies. Let them plead one another. But if you inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly. For we are in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar, and there being no cause whereby we may give an account of this concourse. And when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly.
Very good speech. Very good speech.
But consider, would there be anything different today if the believers were as much a threat to the gods today and the value systems today as they considered Paul to be? Most believers today have adopted the gods of the world and worship them just as the Gentiles do. Worship meaning give them importance. A believer is a threat to every single form of thought, whether it has financial implications, whether it's philosophy, any form of thought, we are a threat to if we speak.
Wouldn't it be a believer who preaches the cross? Because without that preachment, they fill up the churches.
From my standpoint, they're not believers if they don't preach the cross. But forget anything about them. What about you? You expose the vanity of all of the value systems of the human race? Or do you buy into them? And at best, they're quiet.
And what? The last word?
Are quiet. You don't say anything. Can you see, maybe understand how this handful of men turned the world upside down in one generation? The so-called Christians today, they've bought into all the value systems. And I'm not concerned about them, I'm concerned about you. What would you have done had this occurred? And, I mean, you could do it. Free enterprise. That's our Diana. Democracy. That's our Diana. There is nothing. All of our sacred value systems are no different than the goddess Diana. Because the men of the city, that's how they make their fortune. What if you truly preach that all cause and effect was putting on the Babylonian garment? You can't preach it if you don't believe it. What if you do? What would you do if you gave breath to anything in time and space, whether it's all those things and a thousand more that I just mentioned? What if you... He exposed the emptiness and vanity of all of that. You can't do that unless you believe that all of that is vain and worthless and empty. What if you said there's no such thing as Americans or Christians or Islam? Or any other ism. There's nothing left but the bride or the whore. there's nothing left but vessels of wrath or vessels of mercy. Just touching anybody? Convicting anyone?
Yeah.
Or are you working to justify it in your mind? The minute you justify anything in your mind, you quit. That's what the word faint means in the Bible. That's why this story is so important. You believe that all these value systems that you have are the same as Diana? Or all the value systems of the culture in which we live? What's going on, Tom?
These things are something that we should see. I can't come up with a reason why I should say them to anybody else.
Go back to Isaiah. Well, you don't have to go there, but
I understand. I mean, I don't even know which one you're going to read, but the watchman comes.
No, that's the one I'm going to talk about is the one that says, cry, what should I cry? All flesh is as grass.
Okay. I mean,
do you say that to anybody?
I say that when I think that it needs to be said, when I feel like the question has been asked, or when I feel like there's a discussion that needs to be said.
But do you live that way is a much better question.
Well, you know, I'm not going to justify whether I do or not. I don't do it often enough that I get credit for it because I have to be all the time. And even that wouldn't give me any credit. So,
all right, let's go to Acts 27.
Before we leave here, verse 37, it says, you have brought hither these men, which are neither robbers of churches nor yet blasphemers of your gods. But,
well, I know, but that...
They were. I mean,
but I know, that's the guy that was trying to make peace. He's crying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. He didn't say that, but that's what he's doing. All right, go to Acts 27. One more on friend. Well, I mean, let's go. You got to go to 1 John chapter 2. Maybe it's chapter 1. It's chapter 1. No, it isn't. It's chapter 2. Sorry, Pete. Are you not writing anything? Verse 15. Love. You agree, everybody agree, that word there for love is a verb. It's an action word. Love not. Love, agapeo, means give importance to. Everybody agree to that? Love not the world. Everybody agree that the world is everything in time and space? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. way you can do the will of God is because you've accepted your death and you mortify the deeds of the flesh and you confess the Lord Jesus. You say the same thing that he says. Again, you've heard me say many times, you don't confess the Lord Jesus by saying he exists. And you don't deny the Lord Jesus by saying he doesn't exist. You do both, but you deny him by saying you exist. This is as radical as it gets. You believe it, you live it, you speak it. To your family, to your friends. Go to James 4. I'm going to be forced to get out my new Bible. That's all there is to it.
Only if I feel like if I, let's just say, totally repented and I, it was absolute repentance, and I was to head out into the world and live that.
The way.
The way. I believe I would have very few friends. I believe if I told employers that it's all wind, it's all smoke, cause and effect, time, that I probably wouldn't get a job or I'd be fired.
Okay.
And then how would I take care of myself?
It's not your business. You're not your own.
How would I take care of myself if I have no friends?
You're not, again, hear me. You are not your own. You're not your own business. Any part of you is not your business.
Okay.
Consider the lilies of the field. Consider the birds of the air. They don't work. They live. They be. Your Heavenly Father loves you more than he loves the birds.
Survive in the world, just having a an absolute.
That's what it's supposed to do. That's
the 10 power doctrine, and just telling her that's it.
Okay, that's what you're supposed to do. That's how they turned the world upside down in one generation. I promise you. If you don't tell this to your friends, you don't have, they're not your friends. That's part of the reason we looked at all that.
I've told some of my friends this. It's
well, I'm just telling you what.
They had a very interesting response. It's not all negative either.
Go to chapter 4, James. James chapter 4. One verse. Verse 4. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Acts 27. My job isn't to make you believe this. My job is to cause you to come to repentance. If you do, I mean, in other words, I'm not trying to talk you into anything. I'm trying to show you what this thing we call the way, what it isn't. It's not, well, I believe in the way, and now I'm going to go live my life. That's counterintuitive. It's counterproductive, and it's the opposite of belief. That's a brief one. Paul has been arrested. He's on a ship. This is after King Agrippa, the king. Hold on, let me stop. Paul's arrested in Jerusalem. He was warned not to go. He went anyway. He's arrested. They were going to put him under Jewish law, and he said, I'm a Roman. I'm a Roman citizen. And he then had to be taken for that death penalty. He had to be taken to Rome for judgment. And so he's on the way back. He's on the way. They've arrested him. He's in the ship going to Rome. And just before that, Agrippa, who is another Herod, he had the final say and Paul just spoke from verse 19 through 26, and we're not going to read it now, but of chapter 26. And in verse 27, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuade me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but that all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with him. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus band. And entering into a ship of Aldrumitrium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. He went unto his friends who were like believers, who were of the church of that city. And so, again, the scriptures call friends things different than we call friends. I just wanted to, and all of us do it, but almost exclusively, at least in Paul's case, the friends are the same as Jesus said who friends were after he told them all things. Because you know no man after the flesh. Yea, we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more after the flesh. this is important stuff. It'll affect the way you walk, the way that you conduct your life as a believer. It'll affect. I can remember my mother thought I was crazy when I went back and told her this stuff. But then I was electrocuted. And then I went back and continued to tell her this stuff. Even in the midst of that intense pain I was going through. And then she believed. So then I no longer called her mother, but one of my very best friends. The same with my sister. She really thought I was nuts. Now she listens every day. Comes here when she can. You have to understand that this mystery of God has nothing to do with your life. It has to do with His life. But that can only be manifested when you're gone. As long as you keep considering all these things vis-a-vis your mind and how this might affect you, then your veil is down. But if this does affect you, the thing that must be done, rather than justify it, it must cause repentance at the deepest level. If it doesn't, then you're wasting your time sitting here all and having somebody talk to you like this. Anybody have any response? John, do you agree with all this? What don't you agree? You knew that was coming.
The things you say are, I see as continuation of what I see the law as, the yardstick. You want to measure yourself, here's the measure. I never measure up, and that's fine. That's what offense is supposed to be based on. I may not, certainly don't make a very good attempt to clear the yardstick, but still, what I measure myself against is what offense comes from. And I have very, very few friends who are not aware of what I believe. I'm friendly to people, but those are just acquaintances, those who haven't talked to. Everyone who I would call my friend, they're either believers or they at least they know that I am. I can't go any further than that, and that's what repentance is all about. It's an all-year, it's an all-lifetime thing. It's not, you've got it fixed, and now you're going to go do something else.
Well, I mean, again, hear me. Again, the only time that I know of that the people were commended in the New Testament was they were commended because they searched the scriptures daily. The scriptures, the only scriptures they had then was the Old Testament. They searched the scriptures daily to see whether these things be true. Now, if you haven't searched to see whether those things be true and then had some interchange, then there's a problem. There's a real problem with your own integrity. But if you have searched the scriptures, it's not telling you to do something, it's telling you to repent. But repent means, repent means death.
It means all day long, every day.
It means mortify your flesh,
yeah.
And mortify your mind. Take no thought, etc., etc. But the minute you justify it, then you just become a normal Gentile. Agreeing with what the world agrees with. You can have 50,000 labels on you, they mean nothing. God only sees how you live it and whether or not you're justifying anything like the preaching of the cross. If you don't agree, I mean, that's fine. It's not my business, but it is my business. It's to show you the emptiness and vanity and futility of everything but the way.
Well, I am not going to worry about whether I have stood on the street corner and preached against Diana or even, you know, what our current Diana is, because I don't perceive that God has told me to do that yet or set it up that way. The rest of it you're absolutely right about. There needs to be more repentance in me. It needs to be quicker to see and quicker to do. That's as far as I can get right now.
Yeah, there's nothing here where there's nothing I hope that I said to you that told you to go stand and preach in a corner.
Yeah, I know that, but I mean,
what I said to you caused, hopefully, repentance for what you're not, if it isn't. Whatever part of you is not of the way is of the evil one. There's no neutral ground. Again, all I'm asking you to do is to consider that the possibility of no time. All right. Anybody else?
We talked about laissez-faire. Demetrius would be a proponent of laissez-faire government. Total deregulation and...
I'm not too sure there's any other kind of government at the core except laissez-faire. Except until it gets the threatened, and then... But anyway, that's another story.
You've got a little NAFTA screwed mixed around in it, too.
Yeah.
I always said I was more like the guy who was trying to make peace.
No, I know.
Demetrius wanted a law favored his people, but the guy who was trying to make peace, that wasn't Demetrius. That was some government official saying, hey, man, everybody just be cool.
Well, again, the reason we read that this morning is to, what we've studied yesterday and today is to see this the mystery of true friendship is beyond common idolatry. Normal friendship is common idolatry. All right, take it, big guy.
Not quite yet. There was me, or maybe it's Monday. We had Bible study last night, and there was no really new ground broken, but we were covering Genesis 1. And the whole thing about the snake and, you know, talking to Eve and all that stuff. And, of course, you know, I agree. I mean, I understand that's the mind. But if you read the curse that God puts on the mind, on the serpent at that point, you should go on your belly, and it does. And if that doesn't confirm that some of the things you're saying, you know, you're guided by your belly, you know, whatever your wants are, whatever your appetites are, those are what leads you around. And you eat things that are not going to survive.
I condemn. That's dust. Therefore, everything is dust. Made of dust.
Yeah, so I mean, it's, you know, there shouldn't be anything more that's needed to help somebody know that, you know, what their mind is all about. My mind is all about. I just thought you'd find that amusing.
Well, I don't know if you're here, but I've been saying that for years.
But Judy did a better job. I mean, she got it right all these years.
All right, take it, big guy.